We present I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue, a panel game.
Half a century ago, on the 11th of April 1972, literally dozens of listeners tuned in to a brand new radio show. It had been devised by Graham Garden as a way of keeping together the cast and the spirit of the sketch show I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, without the bother of writing a script. The pilot programme, later broadcast as Episode 1, Series 1, was chaired by Humphrey Littleton and featured Timbrook Taylor, Bill Oddie, Graham Garden and Joe Kendall, stalwarts from I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again. The bewildered cast found themselves being given silly things to do by Chairman Humph.
Round one, using the word in the widest possible sense, is a musical round. Each team has the words of a well-known song, which I'm going to ask them to sing, to the wrong tune.
Oh, blimey.
I can't sing them to the right tune.
So, first of all, Graham and Joe will sing the words of Three Blind Mice, which have just been handed to them. And they're going to sing them, please, to the tune of Old Man River.
Now, three blind mice, three blind mice, see all they run, see. Did you ever see the leader I'm free?
I'm Greg James, a lifelong Clue fan. Such a fan, in fact, that I've spent the last 15 years borrowing some of its games for my own radio shows, and they finally realised. So, hosting this is partly an honour and a privilege, but mainly it's to appease Graham Garden and to ultimately stop legal proceedings. In this programme, I'll be charting the course of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue from its shaky start to its current cult status, but not necessarily in that order. And the start was shaky. After recording the pilot, the shell-shocked cast retired to the pub and solemnly swore, never again! Later, in his diary, Humphrey Littleton wrote, the story of ISIHAC is an extraordinary one. We did the pilot show in 1972. Everyone agreed that it was too self-indulgent and dreadful to get off the ground. Months later, a BBC high-up heard the pilot, fell about and insisted it should go on. This is its third series. I shan't be sorry if it expires. I'm rather tired of people coming up and saying, I enjoyed your programme the other day, and finding out that they mean this bit of nonsense.
Right, we're going to have a bit of good old-fashioned fun now with a marvellous game called Hunt the Slipper. Actually, the last time we did this, the teams got rather overexcited because they thought they were going to play Hump the Stripper. The man who was in to take the paint off our door frames got quite agitated as well. In Hunt the Slipper, I'll sit with my eyes closed while the slipper is passed around behind the team's backs. After a few seconds slipper passing, I shall call out, Slipper search on. And then I'll open my eyes. Obviously, I will have no idea where the slipper is, but the team should keep passing the slipper around secretly, and I shall have to guess who is holding the slipper and challenge them by pointing and calling out, Slipper holder. I'm 78, for Christ's sake. If I guess correctly, the slipper holder must declare, yes, slipper holder. Okay, teams, I'm closing my eyes now. Oh, slipper search on.
Should somebody have brought a slipper?
What would have been the point of that?
It was in that third series that the players settled into regular teams. Timbrook Taylor and Willie Rushton versus Graham Garden and Barry Cryer, with Humphrey Littleton still in the chair.
The next round is called Complete Quotes. In it, teams, I shall give you each the first parts of a well-known saying which I'd like you to complete. Points will be deducted for correct answers. I'm going to start with you, Barry. If the cap fits...
Better safe than sorry.
Tim, will you complete this one? Genius is 2% inspiration and...
99% arithmetic.
Willie, here's one. Don't count your chickens.
Out loud as it upsets the other patients.
Graham, you can't teach an old dog new...
clear physics.
I'll throw it open now. Anybody got any more?
One swallow does not make an orgy.
Don't get your knickers in a boot sale.
Give a thief enough rope and he'll run off with it. When the cat's away, the mice will use the flap.
If you can't beat them, what's the point of teaching?
In 1975, Colin Sell joined in at the piano, and before long the show was on the road, recording in theatres all over the country. But Colin still managed to find them.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You find us today at the Theatre Royal in Nottingham, a fine city with a fascinating history. The legendary people's hero Robin Hood spent his life nearby. He famously, on his deathbed, shot an arrow from his bow, asking that wherever in Sherwood Forest the arrow should land, there he should be laid to rest. And the whole area covered with an enormous plastic bubble for visitors to ride bikes and play bingo. It's well documented in official records that the city's original name was Snottingham, or Home of Snots. But when the Normans came, they couldn't pronounce the letter S, so decreed the town be called Nottingham, or the Home of Knots. It's easy to understand why this change was resisted so fiercely by the people of Scunthorpe.
In its 50-year run, the show has had many guest players. And it's been an extraordinary stroke of luck that every single one of them has been familiar with the rules of Mornington Crescent.
Hans Crescent.
Ealing Broadway.
Gants Hill.
Elf Court.
King's Cross.
Bethnal Green.
Embankment.
Hounslow East.
Crouch End.
I think I'll go Aldwych.
Prince's Gate.
Collindale.
Oval Road. Thank you.
I suppose Euston.
You mean you suppose Euston?
Well, quite frankly, you never were very good at this game.
Willie Rushton, who would enliven proceedings with a cartoonist's eye, the ear of an anarchist, and the voice of a disgruntled brigadier. In typical fashion there, Willie was having a go at Tim Brooke Taylor, who endeared himself to the audience with his humour, relatability, and effortless capacity to be bullied, usually by the chairman.
This week we'll be playing timed Mornington Crescent. Yes, so as you'll be aware, each move must be completed within a prescribed time limit. I have in front of me the Mornington Crescent clock, and we'll be activating it after calling each player in turn to make their move. Any player who exceeds the time limit will be penalised. So, we start the clock in a second. Tim, you can start.
Oxford.
No. Bad luck. Moving on. Jeremy.
Turnham Green.
Turnham Green. Jan.
Ongar.
Ongar. Barry.
Edgware.
Edgware. Tim.
Oxford Circle.
Tim. You'd be a bit quicker at this, Tim. Jeremy.
Tower Hill.
Barry.
King's Road.
Kew Gardens.
Green Park.
The clock wasn't going. No good going when the clock isn't going. Tim.
After Tim's elimination by Jack D, that particular round was won by Barry Cryer, the man who was never lost for a quip.
In this round, I'll ask the teams to suggest innovations catalogue-style descriptions for some older inventions that we might now take for granted. Barry.
Toilet roll. New from Thomas Crapper and Son. Crapper's Delight. Accessorise your water closet. No more dock leaves. No more asking the man next door if he's got 2 fives for a 10. That's all behind you, as is. As is New Crapper's Delight. We put our business in your hands and vice versa. Ivor Trump of Staines writes, before discovering your product, I was so desperate, I nearly shot myself. That's from The Guardian. Experts agree it's the number one product, the Royce of Rolls. Try Crapper's Delight.
Lower Regent Street.
Horse Ferry Road. Good.
Oh. I'm going to do a cross leap. I'm going to go Hatton Cross, Brent Cross, Charing Cross.
Out on a limb, Turnpike Lane.
Canada Water.
Queen's Park.
Warwick Avenue.
Cheapside.
Pimlico.
Elephant and Castle.
Graham Garden, whose partnership with Barry Cryer produced many an unforgettable moment.
Okay, it's your turn, Barry and Graham. Would you please sing Wandering Star as Lee Marvin and his hairdresser?
I was born under a wandering star.
No! I was born under a wandering star.
Small world.
Fancy.
Wheels are made for rolling.
Mules are made to pack. Always pop a pair in my suitcase.
Never seen a sight that didn't look better looking, better looking back.
Looking back.
Yes. I was born under a wandering star.
I know, you said.
Mud can make you prisoner.
And the plains can bake you dry.
I know. Snow can burn your eyes.
But I tell you, only people make you cry.
So true. Home is made for coming from.
Well, and for dreams of going to as well. Don't forget that.
Which, with any luck, will never come true.
No, never. A little more off the bottom.
Take it easy round the edges. I was born.
Yes, I know.
Under a wandering
yes,
star.
Yes, you can say that again.
A wandering star.
A wandering,
wandering
star. Yes.
Star.
Well, I've enjoyed our little chat.
Music has always been an important part of the show, and never more so than that time when the good people of Harrogate were stunned by the first recording of Jeremy Hardy's unique singing style.
OK, Jeremy, I'd like you to sing the words of Kung Fu Fighting to the tune of Scarborough Fair.
Everybody was Kung Fu fighting. Those cats were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing.
They were funky Chinamen from Funky Chinatown.
They were chopping them up, they were chopping them down. It's an ancient Chinese art, and everybody knew their part. And fainting slip and the kicking from the head. Should we stop then?
I smell points there.
Shepherd's Bush Market.
Chancery Lane.
Charing Cross Road.
Chigwell.
High Barnet.
I've got to go Arnest Grove.
Mornington Crescent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Victoria Wood, who swore never to do another panel show again after a bruising experience on Just a Minute. Producer John Naismith eventually persuaded her to give Clue a go, and she enjoyed it so much she came back again and again.
So your turn now, Victoria, and I'd like you to sing the words of the Bob the Builder theme to the tune I Dreamed a Dream from Les Miserables.
Get the job done. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Bob the Builder, yes we can. Trying to get busy, such a lot to do. As new, Bob and the gang make a really good sound. Working all day till the sun goes down.
The show has spawned several books over the years, perhaps the most culturally significant being the Uxbridge English Dictionary.
A good dictionary is essential for learning the subtle difference between words. For example, many visitors to the West Midlands mix up the Specials with UB40. Well, the Specials are an English two-tone and ska revival band formed in Coventry in 1977, whereas UB40 is a birthday card for a middle-aged pirate. Sorry, I'm smiling. But the meanings of words are constantly changing, teams. So your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently.
Focaccia, a bread with no interest in the Far East.
Poppycock, a streaker on November the 11th.
Postulate, the new name for Royal Mail.
Quince. Not quite a coincidence. Laburnum, a French barbecue.
Countryside. To kill Piers Morgan.
Insolent, fell off the Isle of Wight ferry.
Trigonometry, a cowboy's method for locating his horse.
Biceps. Mushrooms which swing both ways.
Sandy Toksvig, a frequent and welcome visitor to the game, if only to get a free meal.
The teams are going to play a round called Restaurant Waiters. Each team will take turns to be diners in a restaurant engaged in conversation, while the opposing team act as waiters. And their task is to interrupt the diner's conversation at the least appropriate moments until I do this. With this. Okay, Barry and Sandy, you're going to be two diners, and Barry, you're trying to propose to Sandy. Tim and Jeremy, you're the over-attentive waiter, so off you go.
Darling, there's something I want to ask you.
Care for a roll, madam?
What is it?
Well, it's a sort of bready round thing. It's made with flour.
I've got a surprise for you.
It's self-raising.
Are you asking for my hand in...
Your soup, sir.
I want you to marry me, but there's a slight problem.
It's cock-a-leaky.
What is it?
I've just told you, Clothes, it's cock-a-leaky.
I've just discovered I've got a...
knob of butter.
I've got a slight medical problem.
I don't care. When I kiss you, your lips taste...
like a gherkin, sir.
Oh, damn it, just marry me.
That's very kind of you, sir, but... this isn't actually my table. Good night.
Throughout its long run, I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue has paid tribute to many other great works of art in the field of books, theatre, television, and of course, popular cinema.
Your turn now, Barry and Graham. You'll be performing a scene from When Harry Met Sally, featuring Barry in the Billy Crystal role and Graham as the clanger in the role of Meg Ryan.
What do you mean I'm an affront to all women? I don't hear anyone complain. I think they have an okay time. What do you mean, how do I know? I know. What are you saying, that they fake orgasm? Well, they haven't faked it with me. You don't think that I could tell the difference? Get out of here. Are you okay? What she's having.
The programme has been no stranger to controversy. In 2005, Mornington Crescent almost hit the headlines when a sat-nav was introduced to help the players on their way.
And on with the game, teams, and in a bid to speed things up, I have this week provided you each with the latest satellite navigation technology. So if you'd please programme into your sat-nav boxes a route from Liverpool Street to Mornington Crescent, which takes account of Montague's second stationary ruling. I'd like you to start, please, Tim.
Right, from Liverpool Street, yes.
That's okay. What I said. 5 minutes.
Let me just set it up.
Turn right after 200 yards.
Well, that's quite helpful. I think that takes me into Googe Street.
Googe?
Googe.
Oh, now let me see.
You've got the map upside down.
Oh. Oh, great, so clever.
Shut up and let me concentrate.
Okay, Farringdon.
Farringdon?
Farringdon.
Continue straight when you get to the junction.
Okay, that's Hyde Park Corner.
Right.
We'll go to Oxford Street.
Please execute a U-turn immediately. This is a one-way street.
Oh. Oxford Circus is what I meant. Oxford Circus.
Very funny.
Okay, let's see this bit.
Carry on after the box junction. No, wait. Yes, straight ahead. Sorry, I lost my bearings there for a minute.
Well, pull yourself together.
I've got a headache.
All right, so Fairlop.
Oh, Fairlop, yeah.
Fairlop. Leave me alone, I'll sort this out.
Whoops. That's a northern approach, is it not?
Now then, Fritz.
Have you never played this game before?
Shut up, you. Bethnal Green.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Turnpike Lane.
That was fantastic play, Jeremy.
Thank you very Thank you very much indeed.
I love you, Jeremy. Please sing to me. Please.
No.
Bad news.
I've got a headache.
I think we need to head for Camden
Turn
Town.
Left. Oh, no, right. Left. Left. Other left.
I will. I'll have Camden Town.
Oxford Circus.
Hackney Central.
Oh, dear. Clumsy play.
Okay, let's see what she's got.
I don't believe it. Did you see that? World of Leather have got a sale on.
Miasma, the reason I carry an inhaler.
Aspic. Don't do that.
Faculty, Cockney for there's no more PG tips.
Winch, a spanner belonging to Jonathan Ross.
Dubai, oh. Debbie from Birmingham.
Forecast, to have cutlery protruding from your posterior.
Veneer, Flemish painter of floorboards.
Chatelaine, couldn't get home in time.
Pastoral, too old for foreplay.
Rob Brydon, who joined the panel in 2006, was warmly welcomed for his quick wit, clever impersonations, and competitive spirit. But it was when he was faced with a musical challenge that he took the show to a whole new level.
Your turn, Rob. I'd like you to sing the words of Killing Me Softly with his song to the tune of The Bare Necessities.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. I heard he sang a good song, I heard he had a style, and so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, a stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song.
Thank you.
You're no Jeremy Hardy, that's for sure.
When big-name celebrities heard that I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue was looking for famous guests, there was a veritable stampede. But the producer was able to nab one or two of the slower-moving stars to see who might be prepared to sign up for a 0 hours gig contract to appear in a surprise role.
We have time now for a special round called Celebrity What's My Line. It's based on the erstwhile TV panel game where contestants had to guess a person's occupation by asking questions to which he or she could answer only yes or no. For example, if the answers to three questions, are you a great conversationalist? Are you good at geography? And have you ever taken a driving test? Were all no, then the guest was obviously a minicab driver. Anyway, in our version of the game, I'll be asking the teams to guess the occupation of a mystery celebrity guest. So, will you please welcome tonight's mystery celebrity, Dame Judi Dench. Welcome, Dame Judi, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Before I ask the teams to guess precisely what it is you do for a living, perhaps we can help. Perhaps we can help them a bit by finding out a little bit about you. So, have you come far?
Yes, I've come halfway across the world to be here tonight.
What was the weather like?
I didn't notice.
Do you have any hobbies?
Yes.
And what's your star sign?
Sagittarius.
Okay, well, I'll shortly be asking Dame Judi to perform a short mime of her occupation. But before I do, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Dame Judi is an actress. Dame Judi is an actress.
Now, Dame Judi, if you care to start your mime, please.
Oh, careful.
Oh, dear.
She left somebody's eye out.
Incredibly flexible, yeah. Isn't she?
Mm. OK, Tim and Sandy, you can start questioning now.
Well, Sandy, you better ask, as you're from the same part of the world.
Sorry?
Dame Judi.
Oh, right. Okay, yes, sorry. Fishing, herring, pastries, I'm thinking. Very much in the right area. Are you Scandinavian?
No.
Right. Can anyone do this?
No.
Ah, over to you, Graham and Barry.
Yes, it's not Dane, it's Dame, isn't
oh.
it?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Oh. Sorry. Right.
Maybe
I feel a fool now.
Yeah.
Maybe the a clue in that. Are you closely associated with pantomime?
No.
Have you ever slept with anyone famous?
I prefer not to answer that.
Speaking of panto, I'm at Windsor this year.
Yes, but he's on his own.
Is that your own hair?
What there is of it.
What are we getting
Steeplejack?
Here to... No. Just looking at you, I'm thinking athletics. Am I in the right area?
No.
Barry Graham.
Yes, I can't help thinking that pantomime was sort of a
I think you're homing in on it.
Do you work at all in the theatre?
Ah.
Yes.
Is that before or after the show?
Is this anything to do with ice cream?
It's everything to do with ice cream.
God, it's tricky, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Have we had 20 questions yet?
Humph.
What?
This is your alarm call.
Nobody said anything about 20 questions. That's a different... It's a different game altogether.
Something to do with your... I'm trying to get a thing about your seniority at work. If you were in a group situation at work...
Are you talking to me?
No, darling. No, I'm never address you directly, Humphrey. If you were in a group situation at work, do you tend to command respect from your co-workers, or do they just let you bang on till it's their turn?
Let you bang on till it's their turn.
Oh, you're an actress.
Who was that?
What's it, yeah. Okay.
People are always asking why the show needs to import stars when it can create its own popular favourites. They are referring, of course, to that lovable Scottish duo, Hamish and Dougal.
Right, your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Herbie goes to Monte Carlo. Herbie goes to Monte Carlo.
Five words.
Five words.
Five words.
It's a movie.
Off you go.
Hamish.
Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
Well, you know, yes, I have. I've been taking tea and honey with Mrs. Nochty.
James, does she produce the honey herself?
Oh, no, no. No, no, that's not nature's way. She's got... she's got a hive on her allotment.
Oh. Oh, I had one of those once. Couldn't ride my bicycle for a fortnight.
Mind you, Hamish, mind you, it is the smallest hive I've ever seen. You wouldn't think she'd get a whole swarm in there.
She doesn't have a swarm, Dougal. Oh. She just has the one.
Oh, well, that's funny. I haven't seen it around lately.
No, no, it's... No, it's away on its summer break.
Oh, really? Really, where does hers go to?
Well, it has a timeshare in a holiday hive in Monaco.
Oh! Well, that explains everything.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Guests on the show are often surprised, in fact, frequently dismayed by the academic demands made by some of the games.
This next game combines the philosophical complexity of Schrödinger's cat with the intellectual rigour of Immanuel Kant's concept of being. It's called In My Pants. So, teams, your task is to suggest song titles, while mine is simply to say the phrase In My Pants immediately after each title without raising a smile. Shouldn't be too challenging. Now, in the unlikely event that you are able to raise a titter from the chair, teams, Samantha will be awarding points. So, Tim, you can start.
Someday my prince will come.
In my pants.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
In my pants. Sandy.
Your tiny hand is frozen.
In my pants. Graham.
I've grown accustomed to her face.
Where the bee sucks, there suck I.
In my pants.
I'm forever blowing bubbles.
In my pants.
I've got a brand new combine harvester.
In my pants.
I can't get no satisfaction.
In my pants.
Things ain't what they used to be.
In my pants.
Come gathering nuts in May.
In my pants.
There's no one quite like Grandma.
I tell you my secrets and you use them against me.
Yes, there's more to it than singing songs and playing silly games. And in 2000, in High Wycombe, the antidote to panel games revealed itself to be the antidote to quiz shows too.
We come now to what's known in modern broadcasting parlance as a landmark event. So welcome to our spectacular, brand new round, the Quiz of Quizzes. Right, fingers on buzzers, teams. How many legs have donkeys? Hang on, somebody at the door. Samantha, can you go and see to it? Okay. Right, carry on. Tim.
Four.
Tim says four. Barry and Graham?
Ooh. Higher. No,
not
higher.
Are you sure? Higher.
I don't think it's lower.
Lower.
You say lower. Well, lower. The right answer is that no legs have donkeys. So you were right to go lower. And Tim gets 10 points. Tim, question or nominate?
Nominate Graham.
No, the right answer is nominate Barry. You lose 10 points. Barry, what's the first letter of the word aardvark? Is it A, B, C, or D?
Can I go 50-50, Hump?
All right. Computer, take away one wrong answer and one right answer. Barry, you have two wrong answers left. Which do you go for?
Can I phone a friend?
All right, if you must. Who are you calling?
Ian.
Hello?
Ian, this is Humphrey Littleton from Radio 2's Best of Jazz. Now, I know you can't... I know you can't see the show.
Yes, I can.
Why? Where are you?
I'm here. I'm in the audience.
Well, you were told to switch off your mobiles before the recording. Please switch yours off now.
Oh, sorry.
Barry.
Ian... Ian, what's the first... Ian? Hello, he's gone.
Aardvark, does it start with C or D? Take it. Take your time.
And ask the audience.
All right, go on then. No. Switch them all off. Barry, you're out of time. But let's see what our survey said. Jeremy, your turn.
Can I have one off the top row and five little ones, please?
OK. There you are. That's one Dundee cake and five macaroons. And your target is... Toad in the Hole. Well?
No, I've only got Toad in the Blender.
Well, three away, but that's only 2 points. Graham, your turn, and it's time for What Happens Next.
OK.
Well?
Well, what?
What happens next?
I don't know. I've never played this before.
Have a guess.
Okay. Well, what's supposed to happen next?
The what happens next round.
Well, what happens in that?
I'm asking you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never heard this before. I mean, I come here in all good faith. I don't know what's supposed to happen. I'm not sure what's been going on so far anyway. I've no idea. I did just...
And Graham was talking when the whistle went. So you lose 10 points. Well, teams, at the end of that round, you've banked a miserable 72p. Out of a possible £10,000. Who is letting you down? It's time to vote for who you think is the weakest link.
Anne Robinson.
Anne Robinson.
I'd have to say Anne Robinson as well.
Tim, why Anne Robinson?
Exactly.
Well, Anne Robinson, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Despite strong opposition, I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue has continued to hold its own against the stable of other fine programmes produced on British radio and television.
Coming up on BBC Four, we look at the intriguing case of how one of Britain's favourite comedians won planning permission to build his new house next to a cemetery. That's Let Bygraves Be Bygraves. Later on BBC Four. And on Channel 4 now, a documentary entirely made up of short bits of footage of cardiac surgery in Totally Clips of the Heart.
Tonight, Grumpy Old Men transfers to radio with a new title, Cross Incontinence.
Later on ITV2, David and Victoria Beckham discuss how their marriage has survived both the good times and the bad. That's Thick and Thin, How We Got Through It.
Later on, we see nurses competing to deal with pus-filled boils in Strictly Come Lancing.
This week's Archive Hour provides another chance to see gardening legend Percy Thrower reveal his extensive collection of fine bone china, much of which he's been able to identify blindfolded. That's Point Percy at the Porcelain this one week.
Overweight and bisexual, don't miss By and Large.
At 10 tonight, tune in to Channel 4 as Trini and Susanna help women who want to disguise their enormous bottoms in How Do You Solve a Problem Like My Rear?
Coming up on BBC One, Bill Oddie encourages homeowners to turf over their backyards in an attempt to lure an increasingly rare garden songbird back to the UK. That's Sod That for a Lark.
Now on BBC Four, a study of the significance of the human breast in our society, culture and art. A personal retrospective by Boris Johnson. That's Arse About Tit, tonight at 9.
The Clue chair people, both Humph and Jack D, would be the first to admit that their job is made so easy and pleasant thanks to the assistance they receive from their faithful scorers, Sven, and, of course, the impeccable Samantha.
Well, I notice it's very nearly the end of the show, but it's just time to squeeze in a quick round of Italian Radio Times. Samantha has to go now. She's off to meet her Italian gentleman friend who's taking her out for an ice cream. She says she likes nothing better than to spend the evening licking the nuts off a large Neapolitan.
In its 50 years on the air, I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue has had to say farewell to many of the voices you've been listening to. But the spirit of the show lives on as vigorous as ever, and new, younger voices are always standing by to carry the flame.
In this round, team, you'll hear the first part of jokes written by children, and your job is to try to guess the punchline. They're all genuine jokes collected on the webpage Kids Write Jokes.
What is funny and has eight legs?
Crystal Palace's back four.
And the answer?
A clown.
How about this one?
What do you call a deer with no eyes?
Visually impaired.
I don't know.
Well, they got us again! How about this one?
What do you get when you cross a T-Rex and a chicken?
A very surprised chicken.
Nothing but death.
What?
Yep, children are our future.
The annoying thing is they'll be on the panel next week.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
However old or young the voice is, the show goes on, reinventing itself, combining brand new games and challenges with old favourites.
Well,
Well, it's almost the end of the show, but there's just time to squeeze in a round of Pensioner's Songbook. Samantha tells me she has to nip out to help an old man next door who has trouble using his stair lift. She goes in every night to put him on downstairs and then pulls him off on the landing. So while she's away, I'll ask the teams to suggest song titles to suit an audience of pensioners and senior citizens. Graham, will you start, please?
You say tomatoes and I say, eh?
Dirt, dirt, dirt. Another one bites the crust.
We're all going on a saga holiday.
Stairlift to heaven.
Hit me with your walking stick.
The hippie hippie replacement.
I'm putting in my top set.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
And staying alive.
And that's about it. 50 years old and still going strong. In fact, in 2020, a Radio Times panel of experts voted, I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the greatest radio comedy of all time. But what do they know? Either way, it's a high standard to keep up for the next 50 years. But now the time has come to hand over to I'm sorry I haven't a clue's original chairman, Humphrey Littleton, for the last word.
Well, as the vanquished charwoman of time begins to shake and vac the shag pile of eternity... I notice that we've run out of time. Goodbye.
That was 50 Years Without a Clue, presented by Greg James with the assistance of Graham Garden and Jem Roberts. It featured the voices of Humphrey Littleton, Jack D, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor, Barry Cryer, Willie Rushton, Bill Oddy, Joe Kendall, Jeremy Hardy, Sandy Toksvig, Stephen Fry, Andy Hamilton, Harry Hill, Rob Brydon, David Mitchell, Joe Brand, Jan Ravens, Linda Smith, Richard Osborne, Pam Ayers, Miles Jupp, Ross Noble, Susan Kalman, Tony Hawks, Victoria Wood, Bill Bailey, Omid Jalili, John Finnemore, Kerry Godleman, Rory Bremner, Marcus Brigstock, Vicky Pepperdine, Pippa Evans and Dame Judy Dench, with Colin Sell at the piano. The jokes by Ian Pattinson, Fraser Steele and the cast. The producer was John Naismith. ¶¶